Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Morning Lineup podcast for Wednesday, January 10th, 2018. I'm Anthony Kastrovince, and today we're going to be talking about the bullpens. Earlier this week, in case you missed it, you can go back and check out. We've done top lineups in baseball. We've done top rotations in baseball. And now we're going to get the top bullpens in baseball. And I'm joined by my friend and colleague, Richard Justice, also joined by former big league reliever, Jeff Nelson, who knows a thing or two about relief work. Jeff, thanks for coming out, man.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Well, I wanted to ask you, as a guy who was, you know, born too soon, we're seeing this explosion of the increase in usage of bullpens, the increase in dollars doled out to bullpens. It's quite fascinating. Just, you know, even in my class, you go back the last 10 or 12 years, it's totally flipped on its head to how the offseason operates. You know, this winter, the first and thus far only items that have really flown off the shelves are relievers, are these, you know, especially high value, high leverage, you know, setup men, getting multi-year deals. And meanwhile, everything else is just kind of sitting there waiting to be tapped, including the starting pitching market. And I think that says a lot about the way the game has evolved.
It has. I mean, I was looking today, and if you have all 30 teams, obviously each team with five starters, 15 guys in both leagues have thrown over 200 innings. And that's shocking to me. Usually you have maybe two on each team that would at least reach that mark. And if you look at the last two World Series, I mean, all four teams, you had the Cubs, you had the Dodgers, you had the Indians, the Astros, they're firing through guys in that bullpen. And they even had starters go down for all four teams just to try to, I guess, get through some of those middle innings. The emphasis on the pitch count, the emphasis on the third time around the lineup has really become more, I guess, magnified now than it has been. And yeah, okay, I look at it now and I see the money that these relievers are getting. I'm like, wow, I mean, what would happen if I could have pitched today? You know, who knows? But it's shocking to me. I don't know if it's good for the game. I'm really happy that the relievers are getting a lot of money and they're getting a lot of attention. I think it's, you know, overdue. But you look at the starting pitching now, they're not going deep in the game anymore. You know, I don't know if that's a good thing. Like I just mentioned, look at the World Series. Was that fun to see that nobody in the bullpens could get any outs the last couple of years? You know, it's surprising to me. And, you know, you had Ken Giles with the Astros that basically took himself out of the game and didn't want to pitch anymore, to my opinion. He's felt like, okay, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to give it up. Here's a closer that has dominant stuff. And, you know, you watch the World Series. Yes, it was a great World Series because it went seven games. But at the same time, you couldn't find anybody to get outs besides the starting pitching.
Nelly, is it interesting to you how it has evolved? You know, when we look back after the Giants had won for the third time, it was Bruce Bochy that had to say to us, hey, you know, the only part of our team that's been consistent has been the bullpen. And then the Royals do it. And Dayton Moore says, well, this is what we could afford. We couldn't afford three all-star starters, but we could afford to have three closers at the end of games. Do you think this was a product of starters not pitching deep or economics, or how do you see how we got to where we are?
I think it's both. I think it is a great, I guess, recipe as far as going in and saying, hey, we can afford a bunch of relievers. And if you look at the amount of pitchers that are on a staff, including the starters, you're seeing teams with 13, 12 pitchers on a staff. You know, 10 or 12 years ago, you had 10 or 11 pitchers on a staff because you had starters. You had your number four starter going deep into the game, six or seven innings. You had matchups. I mean, if you look at the teams that I played on, yeah, okay, yes, I could have gotten out lefties and Mike Stanton could have gotten out righties. But it wasn't that way. We had starters that would give us seven innings, and then we pieced together the seventh and eighth or even sometimes the eighth inning to get it to Mariano Rivera, which was easy. And nowadays you're seeing starters, okay, give us five, and we're going to go to the bullpen right away. You know, I do a lot of things with the Marlins now, and I've watched them over the last couple of years, and they don't have any starters that can go deep into the game. And you look at it in the beginning of the year, yes, these guys are dominant and they throw really well out of the bullpen in the beginning of the year. But then the second half comes and they're like, you know, they're overworked. I mean, you have guys that have never pitched that many innings or that many appearances before. And when it comes time to August, they're tired. They're falling apart. And I think we've seen that in the last two World Series, that the bullpen has been used so much that at the end of the year, they're just exhausted. They're riding on fumes. I mean, you look at Davis, who just signed with the Rockies, one of the most dominant closers in the game. I love watching him throw. Look at his stuff and how much it diminished in the World Series or during the playoffs. That it just wasn't the same as it was during the year. So I think it's tough because you maybe the teams and maybe because of the pitch count and you know I don't get the third time around the lineup. I mean, maybe sabermetrics is hurting the game in some way. I mean, you have hitters that are adjusting to a pitcher the third time. Some of the great pitchers adjust the whole time. You'll see some of their averages the third and fourth time around the lineup. They stay consistent, like Verlander and Kershaw. But some of them really it goes almost 100 points more the third time around. Why doesn't the pitcher adjust as well? Why isn't there an emphasis, okay, hey, you got them out the first two times this way. You know they're going to be looking for that pitch that third time, and they hurt you. Why don't you adjust as well? You might see it go back the other way. I don't mind matchups, but you don't find that anymore either. Now, you look at what the Royals did when they won the World Series. They, like you mentioned, Richard, they went to three closers, the seventh, eighth, and ninth, and that was perfect. The Yankees did the same thing. They'll go seventh, eighth, and ninth, and it was done when they had Chapman and they had Miller. You shorten the game. And I think it's maybe the quality of starting pitching is not there, but also a lot of sabermetrics emphasis as far as the third time, the pitch count, and relievers are being used a lot more.
Yeah, and you know, Nelly, what you said about fatigue reminds me of what Tony La Russa would always preach, is that when you play the first half of the season, you're also playing the second half of the season. In other words, you have to be careful about managing the workload. Didn't you tell us during the postseason that your Yankee teams would have a nine-man pitching staff?
We did. You know, we would have four starters and we would have five relievers. We had the luxury that we had guys that did go deep into the game. And, you know, I don't know when you go out and you say, okay, say David Robertson, you have the seventh inning, and then you're going to hand it over to Betances, then you're going to go to Chapman. You know, I don't know pitching a full inning I think going out, hey, I'm going to go face a hitter, I'll get an out, and Stanton will come in and get two outs. And then you can be used multiple days in a row. You don't see a lot of guys throwing 3 days in a row anymore. Very rarely do you see them throw 2 days in a row. But we had starters that went deep into the game. Our spring trainings are also run a lot different. If you watch how spring training staffs are run, you know, when we were playing, and this is why it's different in the game now, is that, you know, our starters left spring training throwing about 100 to 110 pitches. I don't know if any starters nowadays even go and pitch that deep into the spring training and able to leave camp to throw 100 pitches. You're seeing the bullpens being used a lot more earlier in the season because you're not getting length out of the starters. It's just a different game. And I think, you know, it's still great. I mean, I loved watching the World Series. It was frustrating not seeing guys get outs, but it was very, very exciting. It was fun to watch. But pitching has changed. I think the mentality as far as just the pitcher, you know, you look at the starter, the pitch counts are up on the scoreboard, their velocity's up on the scoreboard. They're happy with going five innings. You know, that never used to be either.
Yeah, and you know, you've hit on some of the workload that's been taken on by the bullpens that used to be the innings, the pure innings that used to be taken on by the rotations are now in large part, you know, handed down to the bullpens. And, you know, there's a few guys in this free agent market that I'll be fascinated to see how these deals pan out because, you know, the wear and tear is there. I mean, Brandon Morrow pitched every game of the World Series and then gets a 2 year, I think it was 2 years and 20 from the Cubs. Brian Shaw, I saw him quite a bit here in Cleveland. He averaged, I think it was 72 innings over the last, 4 or 5 years here in Cleveland. So, and he got a 3 year deal from the Rockies. So, you know, that's the thing is the guys who can handle that amount of workload year after year, that repeatability are so few and far between. And that's the danger, I guess, of, you know, these high dollars now that go to relievers.
Yeah. I think, you know, if you look at teams, you would, and just there's a great point because you look at some of these relievers that have been consistent in the workload over the years. A lot of them are special as far as you're not going to have to worry about them. You know, very few. You look at a Verlander and how much he's a workhorse and he's been able to withstand that throughout his career, whether it's genetics, whether it's the way he works out, whatever he does, his routine during the year and during the offseason. Some relievers are the same way. You look at Andrew Miller. I mean, he's one of those guys that really have been very consistent as far as going out every single day and can pitch multiple innings and do it again the next day. You know, might come back and bite him every once in a while, but it doesn't. And that's why when you're a team and you go out and you spend all this money on a Brian Schall or a Davis or a Brandon Morrow. Brandon Morrow has never really stayed healthy in his whole entire career, and he goes out and signs a 2-year deal for $20+ million from the Cubs. You're like, okay, do I need to protect these guys? The one thing that we did have in spring training is, okay, I threw 10 innings. You know, I never really threw over 10 innings, maybe 10 or 12 innings, and then you left camp and you were ready to go. You throw back-to-back days. When I was with the Yankees, Mel Stoudemire used to say, hey, go down and throw 3 innings. He wanted every reliever to throw 3 innings and almost wear yourself out and get tired, and then you build some strength back and you're ready for the season. These teams now almost have to protect some of these guys like a Schall and like a Brandon Morrow during spring training because they know they're going to be used multiple times early in the season because they don't have the workhorses in the rotation that they used to have.
All right, good insights there. And now we are going to dig into our top bullpens in baseball at this moment. And really, unlike previous discussions we've had this week on lineups and rotations, this one is a little more set just because, again, so many of these arms have come off the shelves. Now, having said that, there are a few attractive names still out there. Greg Holland is still looking for a home. Addison Reed, a really nice setup man, still looking for a home as well. And you never know in the bullpen market, how things might shake out. Certain guys just kind of rise from the rubble and end up having monster seasons. So it's always a fascinating area in the game for teams to look for value. And, hopefully find those diamonds in the rough. But actually, I should start there. Richard, where do you think Greg Holland, what's the best fit for him right now?
Well, I still think the Cardinals want to sign a reliever. I had Wade Davis fitted for a Cardinals uniform, and I'm starting to think that may not happen considering that he has signed with the Rockies. On the other hand, I wanted to ask you that, Nelly. If you could sign Greg Holland or Addison Reed, and those are the top two guys left out there, who would you go for?
Well, you look at the Astros. The Astros are talking about, hey, we want to go out and possibly grab another top of the rotation guy. And Garrett Cole's name has been out there. You have Devinsky, you have Giles. How is Ken Giles going to respond after the World Series? Can he come back and be your ninth inning guy on a consistent basis? Here's a perfect place for, maybe a Addison Reed. Here's a guy who has closer experience. He can throw multiple innings. He can give you 4 and 5 outs. He can face the righties and the lefties. He's been a very decent year. He went to Boston, really, struggled a little bit after the trade. But I'm a little surprised that he's still out here. I think Houston would be a great fit for him. Greg Holland, he had a tremendous year for the Rockies. A little surprised that he's still out there. I think for the Astros wanting a chance to repeat, and I think they're probably the best team or one of the best teams in the American League, the bullpen became an issue, and it became an issue later in the year and definitely in the playoffs. Do you want to strengthen that? Is that a place that say, hey, we have a great rotation. How about we strengthen that bullpen? Because you had McCullers, you had guys coming out of that bullpen as a starter. And Morton that threw better innings than some of their relievers. So, I think the Astros would be a great fit for either one of those guys.
Yeah, I mean, the issue here is, Andrew Miller, Darren O'Day, these are examples of setup men in the recent past getting 4-year deals. And I'm sure that's what Addison Reed, winner this winter, hoping to get. And thus far, nobody signed a deal beyond 3 years in this free agent market at any position. So that's been one factor there.
The Angels is another place. They've really made a difference in their lineup. Okay, your starting rotation is iffy and your bullpen's iffy. There's two places right there that, hey, Holland would be a great fit. If you want to contend in that West and possibly grab a wild card, I don't think you can overtake the Astros, but, a Reed and a Holland would be a great fit for that as well.
Well, and then the issue with Holland is, Wade Davis got $17 million a year. I'm sure Holland wants some of that too. He turned down the $15 million option with the Rockies and, turned down the $17.4 million qualifying offer. So, 17 is Aroldis Chapman and become Wade Davis territory. So that's just the price of getting in that market right now. It's absolutely insane. It's absolutely a crazy amount of money for the ninth inning, but it just goes to show where the game is headed and the value placed on those late innings. But Until those guys sign, we're going to work with what we've got here. How this will work is Richard and I will throw out four candidates for the conversation of best bullpens in baseball. If we miss your team, consider yourself lucky, because we're probably just jinxing the teams we talk about anyway. And things are always a moving target in the bullpen world. So please don't take it too seriously. But Richard, start with you. Give me four teams that you think are worthy of the conversation.
I'm going to start with the Dodgers. That's pretty much an easy one. They've lost Brandon Morrow, as Nelly was talking about, but they've replaced him with Scott Alexander, a guy with a big arm. And really, a lot of times when you just rate bullpens, you start with who's got a great closer. Well, the Dodgers have a great closer, and Kenley Jansen and those other guys, Cingrani and Fields, and Baez, you know, Dave Roberts did a great job lining those guys up. The Nationals have completely reinvented themselves as a baseball team with the trades that brought in three guys to pitch late in games, and now having re-signed Brandon Kisler to pitch the ninth inning, you know, with Madsen and with Doolittle. Doolittle, I guess, is the closer, but Madsen and Kinsler to pitch late. And they still love this kid, Kota Glover. They have Sean Kelly back. I like them. They've just changed that team in a big way. The Rockies, obviously, they've committed $114 million to three guys. So the bullpen had better be good. Will it be better than last year? You know, Wade Davis replaces Greg Holland. Jake McGee's a re-sign. Brian Shaw's an add. I don't know if they'll be any better, but they've got a chance to be a really good bullpen and a really good manager at work in the bullpen. My dark horse, the one that you guys might object to, would be the Astros, because they were bad. They were bad in the postseason. But here's what's happened. You know, if you'd asked me 6 weeks to go in the regular season, I would have said this is going to be a great postseason bullpen, because Joe Musgrove, a converted starter, had been great. Chris Davinsky was an all-star in 2017. Will Harris was an all-star in 2016. They didn't have a solid lefty, but Davinsky was the best in the majors at getting left-handed hitters out. So they've added to that. They've added Joe Smith and Hector Rondon, a couple of veterans. They took Anthony Gost in the Rule 5 draft, an outfielder, a pitcher, a left-handed pitcher who throws 100 miles an hour. And A.J. Hinch's challenge, as Nelly was talking about, will be to reclaim Ken Giles' confidence after his last World Series appearance. He pitched seven times in the postseason, gave up runs six times. And after the last appearance, he went into A.J. Hinch's office and just said, I need a friend. And A.J. did not pitch. Yeah, A.J. did not pitch him again. And he's got a great slider. He's got a 100-mile-an-hour fastball. And he's got a great catcher in Brian McCann. So he's going to be, other than turn the page, boys, the celebration's over. Job one is going to be to find out where Ken Giles is at this point in his career. So those are my four: Astros, Nationals, Dodgers, Rockies. What do you got, Castro?
Well, I want to delve into that a little bit with Nelly here. First of all, the Astros, I mean, you've alluded to it a couple of times, Nelly. I mean, your thoughts on that? That's going to be major workload to bounce back from. You know, any team that goes deep into October, there's certainly the potential for a hangover effect on top of the difficulty they had, you know, getting those final outs in the World Series. But what are your thoughts on Richard's hypothesis of them nonetheless being one of the best bullpens in the game?
Yeah, you know, besides the Rockies have some good young starters. I look at you mentioned good bullpens, but the good bullpens all of a sudden, I think, are a reflection on some of their starters. Look at the Nationals. They have starters who can go deep into the game. You have Dodgers. They have starters who can go deep into the game. You have the Astros. If the Astros have the prospects to go out and try to acquire another quality starter, maybe another number one or a number two, like everybody's been hearing. And then it kind of eliminates some of those problems that they had in that sixth and seventh inning. My thing, and that's why I think Greg Holland or a Reed would be a great fit there to help out a Will Harris, to help out a Davinsky. You know, I don't know how much Ken Giles bounces back. You know, he has a great arm. He has, you know, I don't like using the word potential, but, you know, the mental part all of a sudden starts playing into this thing. And the Astros have a great shot of repeating and getting back for a number of years into the playoffs and even to the World Series. And the bullpen has been such an emphasis throughout baseball. Why don't you try adding there and getting a little bit better? Because I don't know how much Ken Giles, you know, maybe during the regular season, maybe pretty dominant. Like he had, 34 saves last year? I'm not sure about the playoffs, because then all of a sudden, 2017 starts creeping into your mind and into your head. And you can't get rid of the demons sometimes when you're out there on the mound.
Yeah, and we saw that here, Nelly, firsthand with Brad Lidge. You know, the morning after he gave up the game, I guess it was game five in the NLCS home run to Albert Pujols, Billy Wagner called him and says, hey, the test for you now is tomorrow, not yesterday. We all know about yesterday, and Brad Ausmus had the pilot announce, look, if you look outside your window as they're on their way to St. Louis, you'll see the ball that Albert Pujols hit last night, you know, trying to make light of it. But ultimately, it didn't work. Brad got off to a rough start the next year, and he ended up helping getting the final out of a World Series in Philadelphia. But he needed a change of scenery. And you just don't know, you know, because fans are tough on guys now. Like if Ken Giles comes in, let's say he pitches the ninth inning on opening day, and he comes in and gives it up. And this is exactly what happened to Brad Lidge just the year after in Houston in 2005. And it was or 2006, they were tough on him. And, you know, the demons, it's the mental part of it is so huge.
Well, it's something that, you know, as a middle reliever and even a closer, you have to have a short memory. And I think that's the toughest thing for any reliever. If you go around the league and say, okay, who are some of the best closers in the game? You look at Kimbrel, you look at Jansen, short memories. I mean, they can go out and give up the game and say, you know what, I can't worry about last night. I played and set up probably the best reliever, Mariano Rivera. Look what he did throughout his career. Heck, 97, we win the World Series in 96. 97, he gives up a home run to Sandy Alomar. We're done in the division series. 2001, luckily, I was on the couch rooting against the Yankees. I didn't want them going back for a fourth time and winning a fourth time. He goes and gives up a game-winning World Series hit to Luis Gonzalez, and the Arizona Diamondbacks win the World Series. Then he comes back and helps the team even more. So as a reliever, it's so important to have a short memory, but it's easier said. And that's why I don't know what Ken Giles' mentality is going to be when you go into a manager's office and basically say, hey, you know, stay away from me. Maybe I need to be the 25th guy on the team. Pitch a regular before me. That's a little concerning to me. And the Astros, it's a great team that they have. I would think, okay, I have to address that. I have to address that part of the game if we plan on repeating.
Well, I want to make two other points about Richard's list. Number one, big ups to Mike Rizzo for getting the Nationals on Richard's preseason list here, because back in July of 2017, that would have not have seemed a possible reality. Oh, my goodness. And Dusty Baker's throwing his hands and telling the media, man, I need some help here. And, you know, maybe that's one reason Dusty's no longer with the Nationals. But he was right, man. He needed the help. And, you know, Mike Rizzo went out and got it. Sean Doolittle, Ryan Madsen, Brandon Kinsler. Bada bing, bada boom, bada ba. And suddenly it's a very different group there for the Nats. And they might still add another piece this winter. Remains to be seen. But my other point is just the Rockies. $106 million total committed over 9 years to Wade Davis, Brian Shaw, and Jake McGee. Each of those guys getting a 3-year deal. You add in Adam Ottavino and Mike Dunn, and between those five guys, over a third of their player payroll in 2018 will be allocated to five relievers. Gentlemen, there's a fine line between genius and insanity. Nelly, where do you think these guys fall on that side of the line when it comes to these investments right here?
Well, I think the Rockies are an anomaly in the sense that you look at that place and where you're pitching in Colorado, you know, you're not going to get a lot of length out of your starters at home. So it's important to build that. And plus the youth that they have in that rotation, you know, you want to build a good veteran bullpen. You know, wins, starters love to see that W next to their name, you know, when they go in the next morning and read that paper. And to have a good veteran presence and good guys coming out of that bullpen and a good ninth inning guy to be able to close it down, you know, that just builds confidence throughout that pitching staff. You just mentioned Shaw, McGee, and Davis. Those guys are going to feed – all those guys in that bullpen are going to feed off of each other and enjoy – you know, okay, who's it going to be this time? Okay, let me come in with the men on your guys on base, and I'm going to get it done. Colorado is unlike a lot of places that you almost need a deeper bullpen and more quality arms down there and a veteran arms because of where you're pitching, and also because they have probably one of the youngest staffs again as they did last year.
Yeah, and the payroll there, because it's a young staff, the payroll allows them to a lot more resources to another area of the team. And we'll see, do they, you know, they still have offensive needs. Can they now afford to go out and get a corner outfielder or first baseman or whatever it is they need, but they do need another hitter. But they, you know, they made it clear we're doing this because we're all in. We think we can go to the World Series. The Dodgers may have something to say about that, but it's, if you're a Rockies fan, you're pretty excited.
All right, I'll throw out my four submissions for this conversation. I'm going to start with the New York Yankees. And look, I think the first clue that maybe 2017 wasn't the retooling, rebuilding, bridge kind of year that a lot of people speculated it might be when they threw $17 million a year at Aroldis Chapman to kind of rebuild the super bullpen that they had, you know, broken up via trade. They brought Chapman back in season. They bring back David Robertson. They had Tommy Kahnle. Of course, Dellin Betances had a rough and tumble 2017. He was kind of all over the place command wise. If he can reel it back in, I'm sure some workload issues caught up with him there. But if he can get back to his old self, boy, that's as deep and as talented a bullpen as any. Chad Green was a multi-inning force for them last year. Adam Warren is very good. It's a very deep group. I think it really made the rotation all that much better to have that security blanket in the back end. And there was some thought going into the winter that maybe the Yankees will trade from the bullpen. That obviously has not happened to date. We'll see if anything does happen here in these final weeks. But obviously, it's a very strong group as we sit here today. I also have the Indians on my list. Now, this is a group that's going to look a lot different because the aforementioned Brian Shaw and those innings that he accumulated for this club over the last five seasons, they will not be there. And Terry Francona has said replacing Brian Shaw, you basically need two guys to replace him. But they have a couple attractive guys in-house. Nick Goody had a very good year for them, low-profile addition from the Yankees, in fact. Tyler Olson really stepped up from the left-handed side when Boone Logan got hurt. Dan Otero has been really, really good for this club the last couple years, so he'll step into more prominent roles. Zach McAllister, same there. He'll get more high-leverage innings. But the key, of course, is Cody Allen at closer, Andrew Miller at, you know, whenever you need him, basically. And it's just still a very strong group, but obviously some question there how they were going to place the innings of Brian Shaw and also Joe Smith, who was a midseason acquisition for them and since signed with the Astros. Another club on my list, the Brewers. I just thought that, you know, the bullpen was really a backbone to their surprise season in 2017. It's a reason they were able to push the Cubs as long as they did in the NL Central. The Brewers bullpen took on a high amount of workload in the first half and really saved them in many respects when the starters were not going deep into the games. Corey Knebel, his first full season as a closer, and he really stepped up. They got Jacob Barnes back there, Jeremy Jeffress, Oliver Drake. They signed Boone Logan. We'll see what he can deliver maybe coming off the injury, but another X factor there is Josh Hader is one of their top pitching prospects and could be in their rotation, could be in their bullpen, remains to be seen. But yeah, I think that group's maybe a little underrated, undersung, and maybe there's some more work to be done this winter, but I kind of like the way it shapes up. And I also got the Red Sox. I have the Red Sox for one primary reason. This guy by the name of Craig Kimbrell, you probably heard of him. Obviously, you know, it's not a closer-dependent environment like it once was. It's bullpens aren't all about the closers, but he's a pretty good one, so I think they're worthy of this list when you got a guy striking out like 15 batters per nine or whatever it is from Kimbrell. But then, you know, really some question beyond that, of course, is what do they get out of Carson Smith? What do they get out of Tyler Thornburg, who, you know, was a big trade acquisition for them going into 2017? And obviously because of injury, that did not work out too well. But, Addison Reed, I don't think will be re-signing with the Red Sox. So, those guys need to step up. Joe Kelly always has great stuff, but harnessing it is always an issue. So I don't know what the exact complexion will be beyond Kimbrell and who will step up and take on those high leverage innings. But I'll put them in the mix on the might of Kimbrell alone. What do you guys think about all that?
Well, I think the Yankees were unbelievable. I mean, the more you look at their numbers, this guy, Chad Green, was phenomenal. I mean, he was, is like you said, multi-innings pitching in front of the stars. He was first in OPS, fifth in batting average, second, and he didn't allow any base runners. And he was great, you know, and to add David Robertson, and then you got Adam Warren. Betances was up and down, but his final numbers were pretty good. And then you got that guy that throws 105 or 10 or whatever it is pitching the ninth inning. So I like that guy, and I like Tito managing the Indians bullpen. And I agree with you on the Red Sox that, what are they going to get out of Thornburg? What are they going to get out of Carson Smith? But when you have a guy that doesn't give up any runs in the ninth inning, you have a big advantage.
Yeah, I agree. And I still think with the Yankees, I mean, they are so deep. It's going to be interesting to see how Aaron Boone handles them. And, you know, as far as handling the staff, letting them and seeing how far they'll go in the game, because it's to have that deep of a bullpen, I guess it's got to be easy for a manager to say, okay, give me five innings. I've got seven guys down there with unbelievable stuff. I got to go to them and I can't wait to get to them. I still think that maybe it could be a possibility that Dylan Betances gets moved. You know, he's a guy, if you look at the bullpen, he, you know, if you look at the arbitration and how he was disgruntled last year, could be the same thing this year. He could be a good chip to go out and maybe get another quality starter. You know, I don't think they need anybody in that offense because they have such a deep bullpen. The one thing I will disagree with you, Anthony, is Milwaukee. I don't know what they're going to get out of the bullpen anymore. I like Knebel. Swarzak is not there. He's now with the Mets. No, which I think if you look at A.J. Ramos and Familia and now Swarzak, if that starting rotation can stay healthy, they could be a surprise team in the NL East. I might like their bullpen a little bit. And then I agree with Cleveland as well. It's going to be a loss with Shaw. But when you have Miller as one of the best relievers in the game and Allen, and, you know, you have some good rotation. And that's the thing. That's the good combination that all 8 of your teams that you guys picked, they have great starters. You know, they have a good – probably 4 solid starters that can eliminate some of the problems that you may have with some of the other teams that probably won't compete in that 6th and 7th inning.
All right, so we've submitted 8 candidates here. And again, if we've missed your team, if we've missed your bullpen, consider it a compliment. Consider it a stroke of luck on your end. I know there's other candidates out there. we'll see what happens. But always a moving target in the bullpens. But we've thrown out there Astros, Indians, Yankees, Nats, Brewers, Dodgers, Red Sox, Rockies. Richard, I'll start with you. In that group, who is the best bullpen in baseball?
I got to go with the Yankees. I just think when you line it up with Chapman, I don't know. Nelly could write, Betances may be better off someplace else, but Robertson, Canley, and that's easy for me to see. You know, and I can also see Chad Green or Adam Warren competing for spots in the rotation, depending on how it works out with CeCe's health and durability and Montgomery and all of that, Sonny Gray. But I think it's a great bullpen. And I could see you could talk me into Boston, you could talk me into Cleveland, but my vote goes to the Yankees.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree. I don't see any other bullpens. I mean, you can find 2 quality guys or maybe even 3 quality guys on other teams and some of the teams that will contend as well. But when you have 6 or 7 guys in that bullpen, you know, when you have a Chad Green, you have Chapman, even if Betances stays, David Robertson is such a clutch guy in those 6th, 7th innings. He can close as well. I don't see any deeper bullpen than the New York Yankees.
What do you got, Castro? You're going to vote against us? You got to take somebody else. You can't just say, you know.
I got to go. I'm going to go off the grid. I'm going to go Detroit Tigers, number one, clearly set up. Yeah, well. No, I've got to go with the Yankees as well. I hate to follow convention here, but it's true. It's just such a force. I just relate it to, you know, being here in Cleveland and getting ready for that division series between the Yankees and Indians. Boy, the Indians were legitimately concerned about that Yankee bullpen and the way it could change a series. Now, granted, that's a postseason series. It's fundamentally different than the regular season, but I just think it spoke to the might of that group. And sure enough, you know, they had a major, major say in the way that series shook out. It's so deep. There's so much strikeout stuff in that group. It is very much the modern day pen of just having one, you know, strikeout assassin after another coming at you inning after inning and shortening games. That's what you need in the modern day major leagues. That's what other teams are trying to build. That's what the Rockies are spending over $100 million to try to build, is a bullpen that just, you know, is devastatingly deep. And the Yankees have that. So, yeah, they're number one for me. But again, a lot of teams could step up into this mix. A lot of people could surprise us in this particular realm in 2018. And we'll see what the future holds, both in the hot stove market and the regular season. But until then, been a good conversation, guys. I want to thank you both for being on, Jeff Nelson and Richard Justice. And thank you all for tuning in. This has been the Morning Lineup Podcast. We'll talk to you next time.